topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. Your mighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time on earth as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me." Today we're going to complete the teaching on the essence of cleansing and deliverance, so that's part three, and then we're going to look at believers are in the world but not of the world. So the overview of the message, this broadcast continues the detailed discussion of the essence of cleansing and deliverance. We continue to look at cleansing one's dwelling and note that this message is not for unbelievers. We look at cleansing yourself and cutting off curses. We talk about harmony versus a divided house and driving out satanic entities. I outline what is required to undertake a spiritual audit of your life. We conclude that cleansing is a major factor in getting close relationship with Father Yah. We then consider another article that believers are in the world but not of the world. In this we talk about the reality of the Creator and that believers see things differently. We note that most true believers do not understand this principle. We also note that true believers are filled with the Spirit of Yah and hear His still small voice. We conclude by noting that all unbelievers are fundamentally serving Satan. It's pointed out that true believers actively honor the Ten Commandments. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a strategic management consultant. I have over 28 and a half years experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty, following a dramatic encounter with Him on the 12th of March 1993, when He spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that He was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church, and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair which, when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve Him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. In particular, please see the compendium of important articles at the top of the menu that lists articles in a logical sequence relative to a typical journey with Yah. That's www.endtimeissueministries, all one word, .org. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show on the top menu and podcasts on the drop-down for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. Weekly teaching Zoom calls every Saturday at 10:30. I conduct weekly teaching Zoom calls every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time, USA. That's 3:30 p.m. UK time, or 5:30 p.m. South African time, on Zoom. The link is Zoom, https://zoom.us/j/703-237-1115. That's 703-237-1115. The passcode is 123484. We just discuss, answer questions, and discuss matters of interest. So you're welcome to join me. Right. Let's get back to the essence of cleansing and deliverance, part three. We're talking about cleansing your dwelling. I want to stress to you, if you're not a believer, this is not going to make sense to you. If you're not a very committed believer, it's also probably not going to make a lot of sense. This is material is for people who are really serious about getting close to the Almighty Creator, close to having a relationship with Him. So in terms of the second category of demon that I spoke about last week, demons that just find themselves there by accident or by limited assignment, all that is required is to determine from Father what the legal right is that allows them to be there, if any, and to tell them to get out. If they're not there in association with some embedded artifact, simply pray in the name of Yeshua, I speak to the demon or demons of whatever Father shows you in this room. I bind you and I command you to leave now and go where Father Yah sends you. Father, in the name of Yeshua, I ask you to send your mighty warring messengers to bind, cast out, and send where you want them to go, the demons that I've just named. In the event that any of these demons have a legal right to be there, I ask you to reveal that right and how to cancel it. I ask you to cover this room, the walls, the floor, the ceiling, the doors, the windows, the window frames, the doorposts, and the lintels with the blood of the covenant. In the name of Yeshua, amen. Then take some red grape juice or red wine, pray over it to represent the blood of the covenant, and apply it to the doorposts and lintels of every room, as well as to the window frames of every opening window. Pray, Father, as I apply the blood of the covenant to this door, window, whatever, I ask you to drive out all demons and satanic messengers that have no right to be here, and to cover the entire room with the blood, including the floors, the walls, the ceilings, the doors, the windows, the window frames, the doorposts, and the lintels. This is relatively straightforward. The worst that can happen is that they do not all leave first time, and you have to pray again later, having first taken time to go before Father and seek guidance as to why they did not go first time. Note that there's no point in praying the same prayer repetitively. You need to add new knowledge before you pray again. Otherwise, you just make a fool of yourself in front of the demons, and they'll be harder to remove later and may call in reinforcements. You can and you should pray to apply the blood of the covenant to your dwelling inside and out on a regular basis, anointing the doorposts and lintels and window frames and lintels with grape juice to represent the blood of the covenant as you do this. Note that you must have a door or window open when you cast out demons. They cannot pass through solid matter. The first category is more problematic simply because there can be any number of artifacts that are giving demons the legal right to be present. Pray, Father, I ask you to show me all artifacts in my home or office or other facility that are giving demons a legal right to be here so that I can dispose of them. Generally, you will be shown, we're talking here about articles in your house or that have got demons attached to them. Generally, you will be shown the most obvious items first. Simply inspect the context of your bookshelves, items hanging on the walls, items in your cupboards, and remove anything that catches your attention or looks suspect. Then go over them one by one and ask Father if they're associated with demons. In its simplest form, this involves simply placing your hand on the item and pausing to listen to what Father has to say in the form of yes or no. Or if you're not sure of what he said, put it in another pile. This could require you to place your hand on each book in turn and each picture in turn, etc. In theory, you should destroy the items by burning. But if you live in an apartment block or other environment where fire is not possible, you may need to resort to destroying the item as best you can and then praying over some grape juice or wine to represent the blood of the covenant and pouring a liberal quantity onto the item, sealing it in a bag and placing it in the trash. Pray, Father, I cover this item with the blood of the covenant, and I ask you to prevent any other person from picking this up and being defiled by this. When I first became aware of these issues, we found that we had a number of pictures which had an ankh on them and other demonic symbols, Egyptian papyrus artwork. We found a number of books, all sorts of things. Quite a process. You will probably need to do several passes through your property over a period of time until you've disposed of everything giving demons rights. In practice, you will initially have some reluctance to destroy items and throw them out, particularly if there's some material value associated with them, so you will probably err on the side of caution. Once you have a revelation of the spiritual damage these items can do to you and your walk with Father, you'll find it easier to get rid of them. See demons as flies hovering over a piece of rotting meat, the offending artifact, book, etc. Note that in going through your premises, you may also encounter books and other items you have borrowed but never returned, which constitute stolen property and which must be restored to their rightful owners. Depending on your life to date, you may also have stuff that you really did steal. And again, you must restore this to the rightful owners, which may require that you drive up to their premises in full sight of all onlookers, offload the items and hand them over with due apology. This can be quite embarrassing and awkward, but if you're serious about serving Yah, then these things must be done. Father may also require you to pay damages. In some cases, you may be required to restore in a multiple with cash or kind for the multiple. I found myself with some things I'd taken from the university where I was studying, and I literally had to drive up to the building on the campus and offload these things and then go and explain why I was bringing back stuff I shouldn't have had in the first place. Quite a cathartic experience. Right, cleansing yourself. The above cleansing will inevitably take place in iterative cycles. Cleanse yourself, cleanse your dwelling, etc., as you grow and learn more, and as you hear Father more. Look out for aberrant behavior. For example, many years ago, before we really knew about Christmas being wrong, we had a fold-up Christmas tree with lights and ornaments, including a little troll. Every year when the tree was out and the troll was on the tree, there was strife in the house, until one day we were praying in the lounge and my young son said, "Daddy, that troll is looking at me." Sure enough, there was a demon attached to the troll that had been assigned by the people who made the troll. We prayed about it and burned the tree, the troll, and all the other ornaments, because we had just in the previous few days become aware that Christmas is a pagan, that is a satanic feast, and that the Christmas tree is an Asherah pole or totem, and the decorations all have satanic significance. This is really important. One of the things about Christmas that Father said to me very early on, I got an email, I think it was, saying Christmas is satanic. And I was going through a period of intense revelation, and I went before Father and I said, Father, is this true? And he said to me, well, James, how would you like it if your family celebrated your birthday on the birthday of your worst enemy and completely ignored your actual birthday? Well, that was good enough for me. And after that, I never celebrated Christmas at all. I've kept away from it. Some of you will know that I advocate fasting over Christmas. Then cut off curses. At the time you commit to Father, there may well be curses against you. As you advance with Father, there will be new curses against you by servants of Satan. A vital way of responding to this form of attack is to ask Father to return those curses in the magnitude he deems appropriate. Pray, Father, in the name of Yeshua, I ask you to cut off all curses that have been spoken against me for which there is no legal basis. Where there are curses with a legal basis, I ask you to show me what to do in order to cut off that legal basis. With regard to the illegal curses, I ask you to, in your discretion, to return those curses in the magnitude that you deem appropriate, such that the persons cursing me will learn not to curse your servants. I ask you also to cut off all human sacrifices that have been made against me, and to judge those who have made those sacrifices ever so severely. Note that if you have chosen to seek to become a friend or an overcomer, Satan's servants will start to curse you and offer human sacrifice against you. Your strongest defense against these is to live a life above sin, such that the curses and sacrifices cannot touch you. Note that abortion is a form of human sacrifice. All that is required to offer a human sacrifice is for a witch in an abortion clinic to dedicate the death of that fetus against you. Folks, this is so important. At the moment of conception, when the sperm merges with the egg and an embryo is formed, that is the point at which life starts. That is the point at which a guardian angel is assigned. That is the point at which a spirit is assigned. This thing about 6 weeks or 14 weeks or whatever it is that's being debated in some countries for abortion, it's just not true, folks. Abortion is murder from the second that the fetus, that the embryo is formed. So contraceptive devices that cause the fertilized egg to not to implant in the womb is also abortion. It's murder. It's cursed. So then harmony versus a divided house. If you're in a covenant union in a marriage with another, that is that you have a sexual tie and you are not in perfect harmony, once you start to actively serve the Almighty, the forces of darkness will take advantage of the spiritual law that a house divided against itself shall not stand. They will attack you in every possible way, and in particular, they will get legal rights to block your finances. If you are one flesh with multiple other people, one of the most important things to do is to clean up as a matter of urgency. See the articles on the Virgin's Covenant and Separation of Man and Woman for more information. Once you've resolved all illegitimate one-flesh bonds, and as a man are left with however many one-flesh bonds Father has required you to keep, and as a woman are left with only one-flesh connection, you're then in a position to clean up your covenant relationships and marriages. Folks, this is so important. I've published on the mailing list in the last few weeks a couple of articles about situations where various case studies of men or man who has engaged in unwise sexual intercourse. In one case, just once, and dragged down his finances for nearly a decade, put the company that he worked for out of business, heavy stuff. In order to serve Father truly effectively, it is vital that you and your partners come into perfect harmony. Pray, Father, I ask you to show us every area of our lives where we are not in perfect harmony. Please help us to course correct as necessary and teach us how to work in perfect harmony. This should be a daily prayer and will require focus and determination in most cases. If your partner is an unbeliever, it's impossible to be in perfect harmony, and divorce may well be the end result if they do not also come to belief. As a general principle, Father will always grant divorce where one partner is an unbeliever and the other is a true believer. If you are single and plan to enter into covenant with, that is, have sex with, another, then it is vital that you agree the basic terms of engagement, headship, etc., before consummating the covenant, and if you cannot agree, do not go ahead with the union. Folks, this is so important. You can pretty much covenant anything you like. And if you have sex without discussing covenant terms, then you will get the default covenant terms together with whatever may have gone with it. So if your male partner has been having sex with other women and he doesn't tell you about it, you are still covenanted into that relationship with multiple women, and you shouldn't be surprised because you didn't ask. It's a really difficult situation. The court of heaven is very strict, not because Father is unreasonable, but because the demons and the satanic messengers, angels, go out of their way. If you are a committed believer, they want to destroy you. They want to hold you back. They want to do all they can to harm you. And this gives them a perfect excuse, a perfect legal opportunity, not an excuse. Driving out satanic entities. Any believer who's making a real effort to serve the Almighty is assigned a satanic messenger or angel to monitor their behavior, obtain feedback from their demons, and give assignments to their demons. They are looking for sin or any knowledge of your plans and events in your life that will enable the forces of darkness to gain a judgment over you or formulate a plan to disrupt your life. That messenger is legally entitled to monitor your every move and shadows you together with your guardian messenger, one of which is assigned to each and every human being at birth and who records your life for the court of heaven and also protects you to the extent that you're in Father's will. You can do nothing about the satanic messenger. You can pray for other satanic messengers in your environment to be cast out. Father, in the name of Yeshua, I ask you to send your mighty warning messengers to cast out all satanic messengers that do not have a legal right to be in my home, following me around, whatever, and send them where you want them to go. Folks, so important to understand this. If you're a believer, you've got a satanic angel, satanic messenger, that follows you wherever you go, that listens to everything you say, that writes down everything you say, records it, and reports back up the satanic and demonic hierarchy if you do anything that's worthy of attention, so that they can get a judgment against you in the court of heaven and they can kill, steal, and destroy in your life. So if things are going wrong in your life, it's because there's something that's allowing the forces of darkness to attack you. Then, undertaking a spiritual audit of your life. Folks, this is a really important piece, and I strongly recommend it to anybody who is sincerely seeking to draw close to Father. There's a further dimension to really getting yourself clean and in right standing with Father. Do this ideally in the 7-day period discussed above. I spoke last week of when you first start this, that you go on a 7-day fast. Ideally commence on the first or second day of the fast and do it progressively over the balance of the week. If that is not practical, do it as and when the opportunity presents itself. Take a notepad or notebook, preferably large pages, A4 or letter size. Write down every year of your life on a separate page from the year of conception to the present, And for each year, write down one or more things that you know about that year that will help you to recall the events of the year, such as started primary school, got married, etc. Pray, Father, I ask you to bring to my remembrance all key events in my life that it is important for me to recall. If you cannot remember anything for a year, write the year down anyway and leave a blank page so that you can fill in the gaps as you proceed. You will be surprised at how much you remember over a few days of doing this exercise. If you have others who can help you fill in the gaps, such as parents, grandparents, brothers and sisters, children, etc., consult them as seems appropriate. So what I'm advocating here, folks, is that you really put your life under a magnifying glass. We're going to see in a minute that, and I've spoken at length before on this judgment and curses, etc. Anything you don't deal with now, you will deal with in the life to come, and you don't want to do that. Once you have a reasonably complete record of your life, start a new set of pages and write down one set year by year with all the sins that you can think of that you committed in that year, focusing on the major ones initially, but noting down everything that comes to mind. Note that you will not necessarily get everything. There may be sins that you did not know were sins. For example, I discovered years after my marriage ended that my wife had misrepresented that she was a virgin when I consummated with her, and that I'd lived in adultery with her for 25 years, believing I'd taken her virginity. My ignorance did not alter the fact that I was in adultery, a sin deserving of death. Pray, Father, I ask you to show me all sins during my life that you want me to deal with. There may be generic sins. For example, you may have had a habit of telling white lies or cursing people. Take care is a curse. To take on care is a curse to take on care. Calling someone pumpkin as a term of endearment is a curse, etc., etc. In which case, you may need to note the first instance and then note something like told white lies habitually from roughly this age. Too many cases to note. Same applies to old wives' tales, etc., such as believing you will be cursed if you walk under a stepladder. Just a bit more on my marriage. My wife, covenant woman at that stage, got me to consummate when she was in the middle of her menstrual cycle, so there was blood everywhere, so I didn't realize that I hadn't taken her virginity. And if you understand the significance of that, the relationship was cursed because menstrual blood is defiled. It's dirty. It's dead. And there's a curse for that. So the whole union was cursed from the beginning. And these are things you need to understand if you want to understand why things are going wrong in your life. Going back to the audit, do the same exercise with wrongs that you did towards others and wrongs that you perceive others did to you, bitterness and resentment that you may be holding on to. Anything that you can think of that is not the way that you perceive that Father wants it to be. Remember that you will be tormented in hell for a period of time for every unconfessed sin. So it's worth being thorough. Keep asking Father as you make notes to bring to your remembrance all incidents that he wants you to deal with. This entire process can easily take several days, and you may find that once you have started, that things keep surfacing for months and even years as you dig deeper and get closer to Father. If you've truly come to first belief and you pray appropriately in the first 7 days, you will have the slate wiped clean in one pass. However, most people who think they made a first decision in later life actually made a very superficial decision early in life, and they're returning in later life, in which case the 7 days of grace do not apply. It's better to be cautious in this regard. In my case, I was confirmed in the Anglican Church age of 13 or 14, served a bit, walked away from the church at about the age of 24, backslid, age of 40 in adultery when Father spoke to me. For several years, the church had me believe that I had become a new believer in 1993 when I came to Father. It was only later that I realized that in actual fact, I had become a believer when I was confirmed at a very superficial, basic level, and therefore that my experience in 1993 was not a salvation experience. It was a rededication experience. So you need to be careful with that. Then once you have a fairly complete list, lay it before Father, get on your knees before Him and pray along the lines of, Father, I bring my life before You, my sin, my error, my bitterness and resentment, my anger, my unforgiveness, the wrongs done to me, all that is wrong with my life to date, and I ask You to forgive me for all of the sins recorded here and all that I've not remembered. I release all those who've wronged me, and I choose to forgive them. And I ask those that I have wronged, forgive me. I confess my addictions, my lusts, my whatever comes to mind as You pray. And I ask You to release me and forgive me and wash me with the blood of the covenant, that I may make a new beginning as I start a new life with You today. If there's anything that I've overlooked that You consider important, I ask You to bring it to my remembrance in the days ahead. Amen. Take the bread and wine. Really important. It may take you several hours to fully pray the above over your entire list, and you may have to repeat this a number of times. You will find that things happen that trigger events into consciousness for years. You will find that things happen that trigger events into your consciousness for years after you do this exercise. In such cases, simply bring the matter quickly before Father, pray appropriately, and let it go. This is, folks, this is a really, the spiritual audit is effectively a one-off process, although you're going to probably iterate it, iterate through it two or three times before you get most of the stuff sorted out. I went through a period where I literally sat for days making notes, and it was not long after that I immersed and shaved and what have you, and Father called me his friend for the first time. In doing this exercise, you're likely to find situations where you need to contact people and repent, make restitution, or make right in some other way. You will be surprised how receptive people are to a quick phone call or email that says along the lines of, I've remembered that in around whenever I did whatever against you. I repent and ask you to forgive me. Be aware that when you die, you will go before the judgment seat of the Creator, and your entire life will be replayed through a series of encounters with people who've gone before you, people who come to you to repent and people you need to repent to. To the extent that what you did was sin and has not been confessed and repented of before you die, you will be sent to hell for a period of torment proportionate to your crime before you enter heaven for eternity. So it is really worth doing this job thoroughly. Remember that Yeshua paid a terrible price for your sin that you confess. So it is fitting that you pay a terrible price for the sin you've not repented of. Folks, this is so important to understand. It's not Yah being difficult, it's Yah being just. And that's just the way it is. If you've got unconfessed, unrepented sin, when you die, you will go to hell to pay the price for it. It's possible, if you follow the process that we've just outlined, to get all of that dealt with. It's possible to live a life without sin. And if you do that, you will not go to hell at all. Really important. You have a choice. So concluding on cleansing. The cleansing process is a major factor in getting to a close relationship with Yah. As long as you have sin and error and demons, all of which Yah hates, you will not get to a place of close relationship, and you will be wide open for your demons and the forces of darkness to sidetrack you or take you out totally. I encourage you to go for all that is outlined here to the greatest extent possible. Note that it is possible to get relatively close to Father while you have a lot of error if you really work at it. I've encountered highly anointed people who've had serious errors despite being relatively close to Father, but in all cases their sin and error have eventually taken them out. Folks, again, Father not being difficult here. We're in a battle. We're in a war. The forces of darkness want you to deny the existence of the Creator. If they can't get you to deny the existence of the Creator, they want to disempower you and preoccupy you and sidetrack you to such an extent that you're busy fighting for survival and you can't actually take on the satanic and demonic realm and do things for Father. So if you are trying to do things for Father, understand that the satanic and demonic realm hate you. They want to destroy you. You need to live above sin. You need to pray the prayers that I've talked about in these last three programs. You need to do the things that I've talked about in these last three programs. It is possible for you to become a powerful, anointed servant of Yah, but it's going to take a bit of time and it's going to take a bit of hard work. And I encourage you to do it. It really is worth it. In considering this section, see also the articles on We Wrestle Not Against Flesh and Blood, which is on the website under the page The Satanic. Under the Satanic Part 1, and under that We Wrestle Not Against Flesh and Blood. Then Principality, Powers, Thrones, and Dominions, etc. Also under the page The Satanic. Also under the page Satanic Part 1, and then Principalities, Powers, etc. Then Pornography, under the web page 6. Sex Permitted and Prohibited, Pornography. Demonic Activity Associated with Artifacts in Dwellings. Go into the article database to put your cursor over the articles tab on the main menu, about three quarters of the way down the main menu. Click on the articles list and then, go to the article search in the right hand sidebar and search for 2001.04.12. That's 2001.04.12. The article is called Demonic Activity in Dwellings, and have a look at that. Quite an important article there. We've touched on some of that in what we've just covered. So that's the end of the article on cleansing, and I hope you found it useful. I encourage you to put all of it into practice if you're serious about serving Father. So now we're going to move on. We've got a bit of time left today, and so we're going to look at a short subject in the world, but not of the world. A very important principle that many believers miss, that believers are in the world, but not of the world. See the Bible, John 15:19 and John 17:16 and other verses. In this context, the world refers to the world system, which is ruled over by the junta of seven demonic masterminds, while Satan is serving his thousand-year sentence in the pit. They're based in Woolwich in London, UK. All unbelievers are part of the world. What does this mean? First of all, the reality of the Creator. True believers have an assurance of the reality of the Creator and their future in heaven, and they live their lives to please Him. Unbelievers do not understand this, and many ridicule it. Secondly, see things differently. True believers see things differently and respond differently to world events, and so are not understood by unbelievers. Many times this results in believers and unbelievers talking past each other. Folks, this is so, so important. I see so many believers who get caught up with the stuff that's going on in the world and lose sight of their relationship with Father. They lose sight of what it means to be a servant of Father. And instead of focusing on drawing close to Father, instead of focusing on graduating to from wise steward or to wise steward, then to good and faithful servant, then to overcomer, then to friend, they are just preoccupied and caught up with all the nonsense that's happening in the world. There's so much going on in the world that is not from Father, folks. If you're a believer, don't get caught up in that. And then what I've seen is that most true believers do not understand this principle. Because many believers do not understand this principle, they get into sucked into all sorts of conspiracy theories and indignation at the error and sin in the world, when this is inherent in the world system. The world is ruled over by the seven demonic masterminds, not some junta of human beings. There's no need for a conspiracy to rule the world. The satanic and demonic realm have ruled the world for over 6,000 years. The conspiracy theories of the unbelievers are irrelevant to true believers. Folks, if unbelievers send you stuff about whatever, I don't care what it is, the vaccine, whether it's the microchip, whether it's this one or that one or what have you. And the thing to realize that the majority of people who are advocating these things are people who advocate some level of religion but have no relationship with Father. I'm talking here about people who have a personal relationship with Father and know Him at some level. Then true believers are filled with the Spirit of Yah. Yah being the true name of the Almighty Creator, Yah the Eternally Self-Existing. You may know Him as the Lord or God, but those are blasphemous names. True believers are filled with the set-apart or Holy Spirit of the Almighty Creator, Yah the Eternally Self-Existing. And they have supernatural peace and joy and experience leading, signs, healing, miracles, etc. To the extent that they're free of sin, they are protected by the messengers or angels of Yah and live life on a different plane. Many believers are not walking in the fullness of what I've said here. They need to seek this. Unbelievers regard all the above as meaningless mumbo jumbo and entirely false. So, you're surrounded by unbelievers. There's only something of the order of a few hundred thousand true believers who are seriously doing anything significant to serve Father, and another million or so who are at least sort of above the cut line. And that's it. So if you're a believer, you are a minute percentage of the people on earth. Then true believers hear Father Yah's still small voice. True believers hears Yah's voice and therefore have a very different view on most things. Unbelievers considered such a thing as absurd and make comments about believers needing to see psychiatrists, etc. If you're a believer and not actively hearing Father's voice, you will need to work at it. He wants to speak to you. If you cannot hear Him, that's your problem. He wants to speak to you. Yes, you, the person who's listening to me right now. Then true believers actively honor the Ten Commandments. True believers actively honor and respect the Ten Commandments and seek to live above sin. Unbelievers are not subject to Ten Commandments and therefore do not understand believers and the need to live above sin. If you're a believer and you're not actively seeking to live above sin, you need to start immediately. And then all believers are fundamentally serving Satan. Fundamentally, no matter what their nominal values and ethics, all unbelievers are serving the satanic and demonic realm, and true believers will have some level of disconnect with them. There are many unbelievers who are nice, good, loving, law-abiding citizens, but when it comes down to the wire, they're serving Satan. So it is necessary to engage with unbelievers in your work situation, in day-to-day life, but one must avoid getting into interrelationships or marriage. It is great sin for a believer to marry an unbeliever or have sex with an unbeliever. If you are a true believer, it is important to understand the above and live accordingly. Getting upset with the world system and getting sucked into their conspiracy theories is really not helpful. If you're a believer and you're not walking in the above, then I encourage you to start fasting and praying and seeking to draw close to Father so that you can walk in this. See the article, Seven Components of Drawing Close, and put this into practice. That article covers a lot of the material covered in the first component of this broadcast. But there's a lot more, and I strongly recommend it if you're looking to get close to Father. So to wrap up, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose, and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, so important to understand the only reason you exist, the only reason I exist, the only reason every human on the planet exists, the only reason the planet exists, the solar system exists, the universe exists, is for Father to have friends. The lie of Satan is to convince people that Father doesn't exist, that it doesn't matter how you behave yourself, that you can be good, and that's all that's needed. No, he wants you to be his friend. He wants to talk to you every day throughout the day. He wants to be part of your business, of your career, of your job, of your family. He wants you to involve him and engage with him constantly. Are you doing that? If not, you are going to be so disappointed when you die. So some key documents on the main menu webpage. Compendium of important articles, video on why seek relationship, the miracle of Yeshua's death, the creator desires a deep personal relationship with you, key components in drawing close to the creator, recommended worship, the creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing, where will you spend eternity, the essence of my message to Christians and also Jews and Muslims and other religions and people who don't believe. All available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries, one word, .org. Transcript of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts. Search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio in quotes. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 till May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org. It's james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. I run a weekly teaching Zoom call every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time USA, 3:30 p.m. UK time, 5:30 p.m. South African time or whatever that time is in your time zone. It's on Zoom. Log in to zoom.us if you've got a link, or just search for Zoom in Google. https://zoom.us, that's zoom.us, /j/7032371115. My account code is 7032371115. The passcode is 123484. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. The Google search is particularly powerful. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, there's so much to be done. There's such an opportunity for you to come to close relationship with Father. There's such an opportunity for you to make a difference in the world. Father is looking for people who will say, I've had enough of the way I'm living my life. I want to live my life differently. I want to really get close to Father. I want to hear His voice clearly. I want to know His will and pray it into existence on the earth. I want to make a difference. I want to bring about change. Father is looking for such people. Will you be one of those people? I encourage you to go for it. Email me, james@endtimemissionministries.org. Thanks so much. Good night.